So we'll go through the word for word first of all, the synonyms first of all. Brahmanasya, hi, deha, ayam. Brahmanasya, hi, deha, ayam. Brahmanasya, hi, deha, ayam. Sudra. Sudra, Kamaya, Na, Ishate. Sudra, Kamaya, Na, Ishate. Sudra, Kamaya, Na, Ishate.
Sudra, Kamaya,
Ishate. Brahmanasya Hidehoyam. Sudra Kamaya Nesete. Grichaya Tapase Cha Iha. Grichaya Tapase Tapase Jeha. Grichaya Tapase Jeha. Pratya, Ananta, Sukaya, Cha. Pratya, Ananta, Sukaya, Sukaya, Cha. Pratya, Ananta, Sukaya, Cha. Krishaya Tapase Jeha. Prajnananda Sukhaya Cha. Brahmanasya Hidehoyam. Sudra Kamaya Neshati. Krishaya Tapase Jeha. Prajnananda Sukhaya Cha. Brahmanasya of a Brahmana, he certainly deha body ayam this sudra insignificant kamaya for sense gratification na not Ishate is meant. Krishraya. For difficult. Tapase. Austerities. Cha. Also. Iha. In this world. Pratya. After death. Ananta. Unlimited. Sukhaya. Happiness. Cha. Also. Okay, so please repeat the report as I read. The body of a Brahmana is not intended to enjoy insignificant sense gratification. Rather, by accepting difficult austerities in this life, a Brahmana will enjoy unlimited happiness after death. Kridayananda Maharaj and the disciples of Sri Rupa Prabhupada. One may ask why a Brahmana should voluntarily accept inconvenience in keeping his body and soul together. In this verse, the Lord explains that advanced human life is meant for serious austerity and not for insignificant sense gratification. By spiritual advancement, one is fixed in transcendental bliss on the spiritual platform and gives up useless absorption in the temporary material body. One should remain detached from the material body, accepting only the bare necessities of life. The Brahmanas, by accepting the troublesome form of livelihood, never forget that the material body is destined to grow old, become diseased, and die in misery. Thus remaining alert and transcendental, an advanced Brahman at the end of his life goes back to home, back to Godhead, where he enjoys unlimited spiritual bliss. Without such higher awareness, how can one be considered a qualified Brahmana? Those devotees engaged 24 hours a day in spreading the mission of Lord Krishna and beyond the platform of renunciation or sense gratification, because they engage everything in Lord Krishna's service. A pure devotee of the Lord aims only to get strength for serving the Lord and does not accept either sumptuous or meager food simply for the body's sake. However, everything may be accepted for the Lord, even sumptuous meals. A Brahmana who is not working day and night to spread the glories of the Lord should feel embarrassed to eat sumptuously for his personal sense gratification. But a renounced Vaishnava preacher may accept invitations from all classes of pious people just to bless their homes. He will eat the opulent foods they offer to him. Similarly, he sometimes eats sumptuously to get strength for defeating atheists and impersonalists. As stated in Vedic literature, one cannot be a higher qualified Brahmana unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord. Among the devotees, those who are preaching Krishna consciousness are the best, as confirmed by the Lord Himself in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So just read the text briefly again, so we can fix it in our minds. The body of a Brahmana is not intended to enjoy insignificant material sense gratification. Rather, by accepting difficult austerities in his life, a Brahmana will enjoy unlimited happiness after death. So this class basically consists of the explanations about this verse given in the Bhagavad Gita. So there are 7 main verses in the Bhagavad Gita that refer to the points raised in this verse. Point number 1 is that the Brahmanas by retaining a troublesome form of livelihood, they will never forget that the material body is destined to grow old, become diseased, and to die in misery. I don't know about you, but so often every day I see the pigeons in the courtyard. Some of them are young and sprightly. Some of them have had too many dives in the bush garden, and have got oil over their feathers. Finally, you'll see a few of them just sitting on their own steps, and obviously ready to leave their bodies. Every day I've seen them, I think, but what happened to me? My body is no different than a pigeon's body. It will happen to me. It will happen to all of us. So very easy to forget at this point. So Prabhupada is, Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita 13:9. Indriya teshu vairagyam ahankara eva cha jamanachu charabhyari dokadoshan doshan. And then translate the part of the translation that's relevant for our thoughts today is self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease. Always I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever they may be, is ignorance. And in the purport to the Prabhupada writes that we should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age and disease. And there are various descriptions in the Vedic literatures. But because we forget how much distress suffered, we actually don't try to make a solution to the repetition of birth and death. And more unfortunately, similarly, at the moment of death, there are all kinds of sufferings. I'm sure Mahatma has seen this many times in his practice as a doctor. Is that true? You see people dying? Have you seen people dying? Take that as a yes. So Prabhupada actually goes on to confirm that as far as disease and old age are concerned, that we all have practical experience. No one wants to be diseased and no one wants to become old, but there's no avoiding them. So the solution is that unless we have a pessimistic, which means pessimistic, who knows the meaning of pessimistic? Pessimistic. Thank you. So unless we have a negative view of this material life, considering the distresses of birth, death, old age and disease, there's no impetus for our making advances in spiritual life. So it's the first point we need to remember, that death awaits us. So the point in the purport that this referred to was the Brahmins, by accepting a troublesome form of livelihood, never forget that the material body is destined to grow old, become diseased, and die in misery. And the line in the translation that we can see that this refers to would be the final phrase, which is that the Brahmins is focused on unlimited happiness after death. Second verse is that Krishna is given to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita that is relevant to this study is that the point that we're referring to is that a Brahmana actually enjoys spiritual bliss after going back home to Godhead. The relevant verse is 1854. Does anyone know 1854? You know the translation? Right. I'll say the translation. One who is thus transcendentally situated, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, and thus becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotion and service unto me. And the part I picked out in the report that from Srila Prabhupada is that since God is full, the living entity who is engaged in God's service in Krishna consciousness also becomes full in himself. He's just like a river cleansed of all dirty water. Because a pure devotee has no thought other than Krishna, he is naturally always joyful. He doesn't lament for any material loss or aspire for gain. Because he is full in the service of the Lord. He has no desire for material enjoyment, because he knows that every living entity is a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and therefore is eternally his servant. Such a stage can be achieved by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who preached pure devotional service in this age. This is part of the basic concept verses at the end of Bhagavad Gita. So we'll continue through then. 1855. I think we did this yesterday in the occasion. Bhaktyama. Tatom. Tatvatom. Marfa. Satyate Tad Anantaram. Anyone have a translation? Translation is, one can understand me as I am in the supreme personality of Godhead only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. And the relevant part of the poem will read to you if you can come bear with me, please. Prabhupada says, this means that after liberation, the process of devotional service continues. So it's not that we're like other yogis. A bhakti yogi doesn't see death as the end of his practice. It's the beginning of his devotional service. By giving our lives in service to Krishna, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he dies to live, and living spreads the holy name around. So devotional service is something beyond liberation and beyond death. And anyone who's engaged in devotional service, listening to Bhagavatam, chanting in kirtan, taking mission, is already liberated and is already functioning in his original constitution, as he will be after the moment of death. In Srimad Bhagavatam, real devotional liberation is defined as the reinstatement of the living entity in his own identity, his own constitutional position. The constitutional position, so the Prabhupada explains, is that every living entity is part and parcel, fragmented portion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his constitutional position is to serve. After liberation, this service is never stopped. Actual liberation is getting free from the misconceptions of life. So that's the purpose of hearing Bhagavatam. Hopefully we'll hear it with enough consciousness that during the day when we need to remember this verse, we'll be able to, and we'll become free from the misconceptions of life. The next verse is 1856. Anyone up for 1856? Sorry, we're coming in here.
Oh,
yeah.
Do I know that number?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, am I up for it? I didn't want to hear it.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay. Glad you want to hear it. Try Prabhu. All right. Text, anyone knows it? Okay. I'll try and chant it. Please forgive the pronunciation. Sarvakarmani Pisada Kurvano Madhya Pasraya Madhasada Noti Sasvatam Paramavyayam. So, if Krishna is speaking English, he would say, though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Boom. So this is the relevant part. The word mad, viyapasraya, means that under the protection of the Supreme, that means that the devotee is under the protection of the Supreme Lord. To be free from material contamination, a pure devotee acts under the direction of the Supreme Lord or his representative, the spiritual master. There's no time limitation for a pure devotee. He's always 24 hours a day, 100% engaged in activities under the direction of the Supreme Lord. And this Keshav is often entertains us by saying, Krishna's already got us. If you don't want to come to him, he's already got you. He's already driving you. You may not think that you're 100% or 24 hours a day engaged in devotional service. But Prabhupada also confirms that all the devotees in this ISKCON movement are already mapped. They're going back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada. To a devotee thus engaged in Krishna consciousness, the Lord is very, very kind. In spite of all difficulties, he's eventually placed in the transcendental abode or Krishna Loka, or ISKCON. He's guaranteed entrance there, there's no doubt about it. In that supreme abode, there's no change, everything is eternal, imperishable, and full of knowledge. Okay, the fourth verse. This Bhagavad Gita 1857. Anyone know 1857, Prabhu? Okay, it starts with Chetasa Sarvakarmani Mahi Sanyasamadpara Buddhi Yoga Pasritya Machita Satatambhava. And the translation is, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. Before. That order of Krishna comes through the cyclic succession from the bona fide spiritual master. So this refers to the Vaishnava system where the brahmachari must learn in the Gurukul and follow the orders of the spiritual master very humbly as a menial servant. Although, because we're in Kali Yuga, because of Prabhupada's mercy, also we're not exactly following letter to letter the things that we're reading in Bhagavatam here. The spirit is unchanged, so therefore the spiritual master's order should be taken as the prime duty of life. If one gets a bona fide spiritual master, Prabhupada says, and acts according to his direction, then one's perfection of life in Krishna consciousness is guaranteed. And then we go on to 1858. Anyone knows? Matchita Sovidurgani Matprasada Dharisyasi Vatache Twam Hankaram Nasrosyasi Vinaksyasi. Translation in English is, if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. However, if you do not work in such consciousness that act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. So, just to remind you, I'm trying to back up the point that a Brahmana enjoys spiritual bliss after going back, at the end of life, and after going back home, back to Godhead. So in Bhagavad Gita's Krishna, in the 8th chapter, Krishna is describing this process in a more expanded form. So he's saying, become conscious of me, then you'll pass over all the obstacles by my grace. But if you don't work in Krishna consciousness, you'll be lost. A point I would like to expand on with the story of Srila Prabhupada's life is that from the purport renounced by Shyam preaching, I accept invitations from all classes of people just to bless their homes and eat the opulent foodstuffs they offer to him. So in October in 1970, in Amritsar in India, Srila Prabhupada received the usual flood of invitations to visit the homes of Hindu families, and he accepted as many invitations as he could, more than was really possible for his devotees and his disciples thought. What they found was they took a wrong direction or missed a turn on the way to the house. They might miss the engagement, and when they finally would catch up to Srila Prabhupada, they would find him cooling gravely in the midst of a lecture on Bhagavad Gita, or laughing and taking prasadam with his hosts. Every day were at least half a dozen engagements. Come to our temple for darshan, come to our house for prasadam. And whenever Prabhupada would return to his ashram, he would find a long line of guests waiting to spend a few moments with him. None of the devotees could match Prabhupada's pace and enthusiasm. His energy never seemed to wane. For his disciples, being invited insistently to take a full meal at half a dozen homes in one day was too much. And I think probably being in Melbourne is a little bit like this sometimes. There's so much prasadam, that's just too much. They tended to overeat and some of them got sick, but Prabhupada knew how to handle the situation expertly. He would fully satisfy each host, speak about Krishna consciousness, hold your tongue, take a little prasadam, which I can't do, I can repeat, but I can't do, and then he would move on. So that's the technique for the Brahmana. Any comments?
There's no constitutional position for servants with body, mind, words, and intelligence. All should be absorbed in Krishna's lotus feet. And then we have to serve him. And then transcendental deliverance. Have only three modes.
Try.
Then we get to get
some.
Then only we can know.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'm not actually going to scream and finish the class here. I'm going to go on for a few more minutes, a few more Bhagavad Gita verses. Please bear with me. Bhagavad Gita, alright, so the point is from the purport that, as Mahatma is saying, that if we engage our full being in the service of Lord Chaitanya, then that's the best. And in the purport, we're told that the devotees who are preaching Krishna consciousness are the best. In Bhagavad Gita 1868, anyone knows? Yaridam Brahman Guyam. So this point is again repeated in Bhagavad Gita. Yaridam Brahman Guyam Mad Bhakti Avidasiti Bhakti Mai Param Kripa Mamevasyati Asamsaya. Translation is, for one who explains, as Mahatma is kindly doing, thank you, Prabhu, This supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So this applies to all of us, however small our contribution may be. Explaining to other devotees may be just simply in the form of doing our service and acting by example. Then we encourage other people that yes, this process works. I simply have to follow the process and I'll go back to home as the Brahmana does and enjoy unlimited spiritual bliss. So it can be very small preaching effort, simply by example, simply as I'm trying to do by repeating the words of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Krishna. But this is the best thing, to simply share what we receive. This is true? And the last one is 1869, it's the 7th verse. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there be anyone more dear. So that's a fairly reinforcement of the power of preaching. So I seem to be sending you all to sleep because I'm not a very good class giver. So just read again the verse so you can fix that in your mind if you're still awake. Brahmanasya hi dehoyam sudra kama yadesyate vichraya tapase jaya Prajananta Sukhaya Cha. The body of the Brahman is not intended to enjoy insignificant material sense gratification. Rather, by accepting difficult austerities in this life, the Brahmana will enjoy unlimited happiness after death. Any more comments? Otherwise, you can go and get ready for prasad. Any more comments?
I don't know where I read this, but somewhere I read that the ultimate goal, I think it's in the Bhagavatam, the ultimate goal is not to be Brahmana, it's to be Vaishnava.
Mm-hmm.
So why is the Brahminical culture so important?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why do we place so much emphasis on it?
Well, you and me coming from a less than Vedic background, we have things back to front. So someone who was cultured would think that being a Vaishnava includes being a Brahmana. People like you and me have a back to front, so we have to do the same thing, but we have to change our mentality and understand that actually when the Bhagavatam teaches about being a brahmachari, being a brahmana, being a householder, it's presumed that a Vaishnava is proficient in all these things. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is actually. But I just wanted to make a point that, like, you know, you know how there's stories about them with brahmanas falling down and things like that. Is it because it's so stressed that? So we can follow the externals of how to live and the habits and things like that. Because obviously, if Brahmanas fall down, then there's something beyond Brahmanism, you know, that we have to have that a Brahmana may lack.
And what would that be?
Vaishnavism.
Joy. So Bhagavatam is so kind that we have examples. Part of the reason why everyone's falling asleep in my class is that I can't give so many relevant examples. But Bhagavatam is so kind that we have the stories of all sorts of people who committed pretty much as bad stuff as we can commit. But still we've got Krishna's mercy. Any more comment? Any other comments, questions, criticism? Alright. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you for listening. Focus just on the program.